This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Fiona, Paul and Isabel. Now, we have a really crowded studio all of a sudden, which is super exciting for an Easter Saturday. In the studio, we have Sky and Grace Larson, who are the founders of the Sisterhood Project, and board member Kate Lambert. Welcome to the studio, everyone.
Thanks, Fiona.
Thank you.
Hey, now, the Sisterhood Project is a budding new charity. I'm not sure now which one of you is going to kick off and tell us the start from the beginning.
Yeah, you want to hear all about the Sisterhood Project?
Yeah, so, we sure do.
Well, so this is actually a concept that came out of my background is a pediatric intensive care nurse, and when I moved out to rural Victoria and got on the farm with my kids, I started doing a lot more proactive stuff in the community, so teaching baby and child first aid courses. And one of the things that became really apparent to me very quickly was that the demographics of people who have children that die in higher proportions, so those from lower socio-demographic areas, those from rural and remote Australia, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, those cohorts of people weren't really able to come to public paid courses. So I approached my sister at that time and I said, look, I think that we actually need to really focus in on addressing this disparity, and there's not really anybody doing this particular thing right now. So that's where the Sisterhood Project idea was formed, and I suppose the name came from the fact that it's me and my sister co-founding it together. And also that we are doing this as a bunch of women, a bunch of ladies on the board as well. So it's really women together trying to address this, you know, inequality and this disparity.
That is an incredible initiative. And Sky, now tell me, what do you bring to what's your background and how did you get involved? Aside from the fact that your sister asked you to get involved, tell us more about your background and what you bring to the Sisterhood Project.
Yeah, no worries. So I'm the only non-medical professional on the board. So we have a raft of very dedicated, experienced, wonderful nurses. And then my background is in media and communications, in a variety of areas, from government to corporate to business lobbying to private business. So I guess my skills that I bring in is the ability to communicate the issue itself and the disparity and how we raise awareness for that the best way we can.
Well, as someone who's in media communications, I definitely can understand how your skills would be vital to the Sisterhood Project, for sure. And then, of course, we come to Kate. Now, Kate brought this wonderful story and new project to the attention of Saturday Magazine. Thank you, Kate. Tell us, now you're a board member.
I am, yeah. So Grace and I actually worked together in the paediatric intensive care unit for a number of years. I've had to step away from clinical nursing, and I'm actually on working with Ambulance Victoria now, which is how I met Macca.
Yes, wonderful connection there.
Absolutely brilliant connection. So when Grace and I had my kids out on the farm with Grace one day, and she said, look, this is what we're doing. We're looking at setting up the board, and I was like, 100% I'm in. This is amazing. This is incredible work, and it's you know, something really important. I know that I've seen the impacts of people having access to that knowledge about how to help their children in emergencies, when to call for help, those sort of things. It's probably one of the biggest things that a parent will say if they're in an intensive care unit is, I didn't know whether I was doing the right thing. And that's information that we can help spread and provide to them.
Well, I would imagine, I mean, I grew up in regional Victoria and not far from, I think, where you may be based. Grace, now, is this something that, you know, because in regional Victoria where, you know, you have to drive distances to get to hospitals, how vital it is to have some of those first aid skills, because you might not, you know, it's not like the ambulance is right around the corner. Yeah. I mean, I know the services, regional services are fantastic in a lot of cases, but certainly the elements, I mean, that's certainly part of your experience.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And the other thing we know when we look at research, when we're the first people who are going to be providing first aid treatment or CPR or anything like that to a child if they do suffer from a catastrophic accident or an injury or an illness is going to be parents. Mm. So what that means is parents really deserve access to these knowledge and skills. Hopefully they never have to use it. We wouldn't wish that on anybody. Mm. But, you know, just having that training and access to that training means that, you know, if they are in that situation where they're waiting for emergency services to arrive, they know what they can do to keep their child stable or alive while they're waiting for them to arrive. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. It's so vital. Now, I love the fact you guys are wearing T-shirts.
You've got your own. Sorry, I forgot my T-shirt.
You forgot your T-shirt.
Skies.
Thank God this is audio
mission.
So now you're a budding charity. So I guess the next question is, how is all of this being funded?
That's a very important question with a very important answer. And I think that as a very new charity, we are completely not for profit. Everyone is entirely volunteer. We all have jobs outside of the Sisterhood Project. So without donations, without grants, without sponsorship and in-kind support, we actually can't operate. So the majority of the services that we've provided to date have been as a result of donations and grants and in-kind support. We've been very lucky to receive a lot of in-kind support, first aid providers volunteering their time. We had someone, happened by the design, Chloe, build our website for us free of charge. We've had lawyers provide pro bono work for us to get incorporated. We've been really lucky on that side of things. So it's an area, you know, if people do see how important this work is, you know, to be able to come forward with donations or support of any kind that they can, we would appreciate it. We'd be extremely grateful.
Are you doing any fundraising sort of events and things locally so people could become also, I mean, it does two jobs. It helps raise funds, but it also brings awareness so that you can get more people in the program.
Yes, absolutely. Look, we have done some already. We've done some at local childcares, at my children's local childcare. We did a fundraising course where they could learn quick CPR and what to do if their children are choking, and they just paid $5 or $10 to learn really, really short, sharp lessons on that, and that money all went into the Sisterhood Project. And we also have a fundraising committee who are organising a raft of fundraising activities across the next 12 months for us, where we'll be able to do a lot more of that.
Well, I'm sure that it's only going to grow, and the more people, the more parents and carers who have this knowledge. Kate, how long has the organisation been? I know it's budding and it's new, but tell us, how long has the Sisterhood Project been running for, and what kind of, what are the numbers of people that are coming to the project?
Yeah, so I think Grace approached me probably about 18 months ago, and we've done a lot of work over the last sort of, the first sort of 12 months of that, really getting the constitution done, working out what are our you know, what are the legalities of running a charity and things like that. In saying that, Grace managed to find time to nominate me for a Westfield Local Heroes Award, you know, where we got $5,000 for that.
Fantastic.
And things like that. So, you know, we've really spent that time kind of getting ourselves organised, starting to get the word out there, and really getting ourselves, our feet under us. So at the moment we're a board of five, and we're looking at expanding and trying to get, you know, some runs on the board. So we've run a couple of pilot projects up in the Shepparton region, where we've catered to two individual groups and actually really encouraged our first aid providers to tailor the way they deliver those opportunities to the group that they were providing for. So a group of young mothers, where we, rather than come in and do a big chunk of time, we've gone in and done short 1 hour sessions and built on that over a few weeks. So it's about, you know, looking at the groups that we're trying to serve and tailoring the information to them so that they can access it in the best way.
Well, I mean, knowing Shepparton somewhat, I can certainly, you know, you do have the unique issues there because you've got a lot of culturally and linguistically diverse communities up there. How are you able to work with those particular communities, because they might even be some of the most needy?
Yeah, and I suppose that's the premise of our charity. these groups of people, these groups of children who are demographically in higher statistics, more likely to die from preventable accidents and injuries, are the groups that are harder to reach. They're the groups that are not going to necessarily respond the same way to a four-hour didactic teaching session. So the premise of our charity is really going in there and partnering with organisations that already support these people, tailor-making the way that we then have the education delivered so that it's not just about the information being out there, but it's being delivered in a way which is consumed and potentially results in a practice change as well. You know, whether that is, you know, the parents now have an awareness of when their child suffers from a burn, they now know how to apply that first aid. And we know children from lower socio-demographic areas, for example, are 7 times more likely to suffer from a catastrophic burn. So even that just simple act of now knowing how to provide burn first aid could reduce that statistic quite significantly. But it's about getting that information out there in a way which then is taken away and learnt and put into practice within the home as well. So those shorter sessions, like Kate was saying, less didactic, so more skills-based training where you're just showing what to do rather than death by PowerPoint, if you know what I mean. And, yeah, also, like, just culturally safe training as well. So making sure that all of our trainers have done, you know, culturally safe training. We're really excited to work with some linguistically diverse communities as well. That's definitely on our list. We would like to do some teaching sessions with the help of translators as well. So we'd really like to be able to address those there's inequalities as well. So these are difficult answers, difficult questions and difficult answers, but like that's why our charity exists, because we recognise that it really just needs somebody focusing on it and creating really creative solutions to address.
And Grace, now I noticed that you are being recognised because you yourself have actually just been, you were given an award, the 2024 Victorian Rural Women's Agrifuture Award. Congratulations, Grace.
Thank you. It was a bit of a, I was shocked, but yeah, it's good. It was great. Yeah.
Completely deserved as far as I can see. And for all of you, I think that's an incredible project. And I'm so glad that, Kate, you reached out to Macca and that we could get you on the show. Now, if people would like to find out more, donate, get involved, share expertise, where do they go?
Our website is www.thesisterhoodproject.com.au. We are also available on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn.
Fantastic. It's really incredible. We're so thankful that you could join us in the studio too. And I hope that you have a marvelous Saturday and a fantastic long weekend. Thanks
for
coming.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
All right. You're on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.